SportsCast Sports Talk 101 on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. SportsCast Sports Talk 101.
Discuss, debate, entertain, and loud.
SportsCast Sports Talk 101.
Here we go, Sports Talk 101. I am not Aaron. That is not Ray. I am not Ray, and he is not Aaron. No Aaron tonight. I don't know what he's doing, goofing off. No Ray. Ray is enjoying the beach. And so we you have two new guest hosts tonight. I am Jeff, and he...
I am Alan.
There we go. Alan is a Commanders fan because apparently the rule on Sports Talk, gotta have a Commanders fan on here at all times. Apparently that is a rule. The CEO of SportsCast have said there must always be a Commanders fan on at all times. And so Alan is gracious enough to join us. How are you, sir? Welcome.
I am well, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. Lots of stuff going on in the world of sports. Mm-hmm. We don't have a full topic list, but we're going to talk a little baseball. We're going to talk a little bit about the Major League trade deadline that happened today. We will talk NFL news. We'll talk in honor of Raymond. We will talk about his good friend Debo Samuel. We will talk a little bit about Miami, and I will give you a hypothetical but maybe reality situation that I think is happening down there. And then we're going to end the show, and we're going to talk, I guess, Deshaun Watson. And if there's anything else we want to throw in there, if the chat wants to jump in and say something too. So I thought Juan Soto was going to go to the Yankees or the Dodgers. Not where he went.
Yeah, I thought that he was going to go there too. But when you look at the Padres, mm-hmm. what it is even though you look at the star power, mm-hmm. the Nationals are trying to rebuild their minor league system. And so with all the players that they got, not only for Soto, but for Bell as well, mm-hmm. it was too good of an offer for them to pass up.
There you go. Now, what do you think, trade-wise, with what the Nationals got?
I think the trade-wise, it's going to work out for them, but they wanted to rebuild their minor league system, okay. and by trading Soto and Bell, it looks like they got, I believe, three pitchers and one utility player, I think. And I know that the pitchers are probably going to be optioned to, I think it was single, double, maybe even triple-A, some of them.
All the way down to single. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that when I was looking at the information earlier today, uh-huh. and one of the pitchers was in single-A in the Padres organization. If you think about it for the Nationals, remember when they got Trey Turner? Mm-hmm. I believe he was at the Padres as well. Mm-hmm. Although he had to stay in the Padres system for 6 months, I think, before I became a National because of the contractual obligations. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And if they make it into third place in the NL East, I'll be surprised, honestly.
So two pitchers, two outfielders, a shortstop, and a major league player to be named later, I guess. Or at least that was the tweet I saw 10 hours ago. I don't know if Jeff has updated it lately.
Not 100% sure, although yeah. I know that I'm curious to see how they're going to do that. Although you saw that the Yankees, they actually traded away Joey Votto today.
They did, yes.
I mean, I know he wasn't having the best year, but still. He's been a 5 or 6-time All-Star with the Reds before he came to the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I know right now he's kind of a liability average-wise, but you still are going to need somebody who is a former Gold Glove. I mean, they're doing okay right now since they are in first place, but I think they're trying to get ready to make a big run in the playoffs this year.
Oh, of course they are. Of course they are. So, yes, of course they are. So get what you need to go in. Get what you win. This is what the Rams did. Get what you need to win now, right?
That is true. That is true. Although,
and if you got to give up somebody, well, you know, obviously they know them better than we do.
Oh, yeah, that and the coaches obviously do their homework. I mean, it's not like they're going to do Moneyball like Billy Beane did, but still, they're going to make sure that when they make the trade, it's going to be the trade that's the best for each team.
Correct. I'm just trying to find the trade tracker here.
Okay.
But I can't. Oh, here we go. Trade tracker. Here we go. Okay. And the Blue Jays acquired for some cash Jeremy mm-hmm. Beasley. Or we got cash. And we got rid of Jeremy Beasley. Since I'm in Toronto, don't know if you knew that or not.
Did not, but no.
And I'm also a Cowboys fan, but we'll talk about that later.
Nobody's perfect.
We got Mitchell White and Alex De Jesus
mm-hmm.
with the Dodgers. Sent over Nick Frasco. Harrison Bader goes to the Yankees. With Jordan Montgomery going to St. Louis. Boston picked up a few players, although I don't know what the hell happened to Boston. Boston was killing it in June mm-hmm. and then in July. I don't know what the hell happened to them. I'm happy for it because the Blue Jays just killed inside the park mm-hmm. grand slam mm-hmm. home run. Like, I don't know what happened that weekend. They forgot to show up.
I know one of their pitchers who they were trying to get rid of, because I saw it on Baseball Tonight last night.
Yep.
In the last month, he had an 11.37 ERA,
yep.
and they were trying to trade him.
Yep.
Although you saw for Baltimore, they traded away their closer, and they yep. also traded away Trey Mancini,
yep.
which I think they're going to miss Mancini more just because of how much of a leader he was on and off the field and how even when he battled cancer there, the Orioles stuck by him. So, I mean, I think that's going to be something that's going to remain to see in the next few years.
I'm just trying to – I don't see that on my list here, but it's on here probably somewhere.
It was what – I think that he was traded yesterday, not today.
Oh, okay, so let's go back down here.
Because yeah. I've been keeping track of them the last 2 days for.
Oh yeah, so Baltimore got Seth Johnson and Chase McDermott. The mm-hmm. Rays got Jose Siri, and then mm-hmm. Houston got Trey Mancini. So it was a three-way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout out to Crow Resin, Cali Fett, and David Wilson in the chat, saying hello to everybody. I see Cali Fett is in the back waving, so that is awesome. We talk a little baseball here, so. It is going to be an interesting next couple of months in baseball to see where people land. I thought I thought Boston was going to start to run away with it, but that is not the case anymore. I think the Yankees are just too good. But the Steinbrenners always want to spend money, so they're never afraid to spend money. So I think he inherited that from his dad.
Yeah, well, both Hank and Hal, they actually have cut back on their payroll compared to when their dad did it, just because, unlike their dad, they don't want to hit the luxury tax as much.
That's right. It's a different time. You can't. It's not a fair comparison to compare what it is now with the way it was back in the day. Right? There was no salary cap. There was no free agency. Yeah, there was none of that good stuff to try to level it off.
I want to see how they do with Aaron Judge, though, because I think that this is his contract year, and so the question is if he's going to stay there, what they're going to do, because he's been definitely their, I would say, their biggest player since Jeter left, because of how, like, the star power and just how his production's been going ever since he made it into the major leagues.
Yep. How do I go back on this stupid thing here? Not one more. Okay, could I click on that? Here we go. So according to Sports Track, this is an old article. Oh, it was an old article about Aaron Judge.
Oh, okay.
And his money.
Have you been watching the ESPN series The Captain?
You know what? In Canada, we don't get ESPN. We have the sports network. And I will also be honest, and everyone else watching the show. Oh, Vet Cloud, Vet Aaron is in the chat. Hello, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it HTTC?
Now it is, but.
Okay. But to you guys, David Wilson says that team does not exist on your shirt anymore.
That is correct. Although if I had to, I have a leather jacket for the Washington football team from last year. So,
which again, still doesn't exist. So
I know. I mean, I'm going to work on getting. I'm going to upgrade by the end of this year. Upgrade.
There you go. Get one of them throwbacks. They're doing some throwback. Get yourself a throwbacker. Or something. Just for the record, Aaron, you can't boot anybody out. Only I can. So full disclosure, and the people in the chat, Aaron and David and others know I've been moving. I've been in the process of moving for the last couple of months. We've been living in a rental house for 3 months because there were issues with the house. This is the new house. This is the house I am currently in. We hopefully fully move in on Saturday. All that being said, I am behind on many things because I at the rental house, we only have one television. I have not got the other four in the man cave hooked up yet. They're actually now in the building. I actually, for the first time in 5 months, have four televisions in the building. They've been on vacation for the last 4 months. So I tweeted out a picture the other day of the four televisions are in the building now. But we're doing other renovations to the house. The man cave is third on the list. So hopefully by September, we'll actually start the man cave renovations, including putting up the four TVs, putting up a bunch of other stuff. I also want to get a sports ticker as well, because we have this stupid bulkhead above the door. Can't do anything with it other than put a sports ticker up. So, no, I have not watched the series. So give me your 411 on it without spoilers.
Okay, so I was watching up until episode 3, then I've fallen asleep because I was watching before I went to bed. It started from his career, from when he was a young kid, all the way up until, let's see, I believe it was 1999 when I was watching and just seeing about how the teams, when they would win, when they would lose, how he was interacting with the New York media, and just how he was giving his opinion about different things that were going on. And you hear him talk about Nomar and A-Rod as well, just because how they were the big three shortstops at the time.
Right.
And you just get to see different little areas about that, and you hear them also. You get other former Yankees and a few other people that are in there talking as well. So it's kind of like how The Last Dance was, only it's baseball version, and you see that they actually tried to make sure to interact with a lot of different Yankees and a few other people as well. So it's not just, okay, this is only going to be about the Yankees. Sure, it is about Jeter, but they're making sure to let other people get their point of view and just explain how he would deal with everything, basically.
Cool. Callie, shout out to Callie Vet 93 in the chat. Apparently he's a Steelers fan. We can switch to the NFL. Speaking of the Steelers, Vet got to it before I could. Who do you think starts day one? Who's the day one starter for the Steelers? You think it's Mitch? Now, I've always liked Mitch. Again, full disclosure, my producer and I, we've always liked Mitch. He got them to the playoffs. He got that Chicago team with the shittiest team and the worst coach, and he got them to the playoff twice.
Well, I admit that was incredible, but what about Rex Grossman taking an even worse team to the Super Bowl?
There you go.
But I would like to see if he does, although for me, being, like you said, a Commanders fan, losing Dwayne Haskins, how they lost him during the offseason, was just horrible, because I really think that if he was alive, he would definitely be in competition this year. I don't know if Trubisky's going to be the day one starter, though. I mean,
He's got the experience. I think he has to be. Now, Vet's saying he's struggling in before the season starts. Now, it's only, what, week one of training camp. So
yeah, but Rudolph.
They only just started putting the pads on. And I think you got to go, at least you got to start the year with the guy with some experience.
If it was me, I would probably go with Mason Rudolph because even though he doesn't have the experience per se, he was behind Ben, and he has been able to see how the team, this team is. Whereas mm-hmm. Trubisky, with him just coming in, mm-hmm. he's having to try to work on learning the Steelers' way, which that's a whole different thing compared to what he did in Chicago or anywhere else.
Right.
So for me right now, if it was going to be for Pittsburgh, I still think Rudolph's number one. I'd put Trubisky 2. Pickett, I think he's going to be in the back, okay. in third string right now.
Aaron thinks Rudolph starts with Pickett as the backup, and I don't know where Mitch is.
Probably has him in third string then.
I don't know where Mitch is, but in Aaron's world. But all right, well.
What do you think about the name change for the stadium?
I didn't hear how much money they got. What was the? I didn't hear any of that. Full disclosure. The reason I'm a Cowboys fan is growing up in the 70s. My older brother was and still is a Steelers fan. I've never liked the Steelers. Like Aaron said, name change, stadium name, it happens. Money talks, in Toronto, the Sky Dome became the Rogers Center. Mm-hmm. What is it, the crypto.com arena out there? It happens, what happened to the giant ketchup bottle? I saw lots of video of that going away. Where did that go? Does that go back to, to Heinz? Or is that a dead stadium museum?
Well, I mean, Heinz is actually in Pittsburgh. And the thing is, I actually went to the Pittsburgh Sports Museum there.
Oh, nice.
And you see that Heinz is actually one of the big sponsors of that entire museum. So it's possible maybe they did put it on top of the building. Because that's a big building.
Okay.
So we'll see. Oh, we got a question about the Broncos now.
I want to hear the panel's thoughts on the Broncos. When you get through to it, no rush. They signed. They got a new minority owner today. Which I'm drawing a blank on now. Drawing a blank on it. Didn't get your show notes, Aaron, so I couldn't prep for this. Still mad at him about that he didn't send me show notes. Who is their new majority owner? I forget. But there's somebody big signed on. Someone Google that in the chat and tell me who the new minority owner of the Broncos is. That is, I am just glad. I am very glad we play in the NFC. With the stuff that's going on in the AFC and the talent they have over there, I'm glad we play in the NFC.
Condoleezza Rice.
No, that's old.
Okay. Well, I know she became one as well.
She did. That is true. Somebody
January
today.
January 11th.
Somebody today or yesterday. Might have been yesterday.
Oh, Lewis Hamilton from F1.
Lewis Hamilton, F1. Yes. F1, Sir Alan. Sorry. Sir Hamilton. Sir Lewis Hamilton. Yes. Became a minority owner. Was that yesterday or today or Sunday? I don't know. Sometime in the last few days. So there you go.
10 hours ago.
There you go. There you go. See, I wasn't prepped for that. So. Do you think their season, are we still talking about the Broncos, is in peril due to season-ending injuries? I think their season was in peril because of who they, the division they're in.
Yeah, I mean, that and they're waiting to see how Russell Wilson does, which in some ways, I think that Russell Wilson's going to be the main reason they're going to make it to the playoffs and then go beyond. But the thing is, like you said, you got the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I know our buddy Tyler will definitely be talking about the Chargers. And then, let's see.
Well, then there's, you know, you got Devontae saying that Derek Carr is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I almost spit my drink out when I read that. He took him to the playoffs once and lost. He leads the league every year in quarterback fumbles. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Aaron contends that every game that a team loses is because of the quarterback. All the games the Cowboys lost in the late 2000s, you know, 2006 onwards, was because of Tony Romo. Only reason. That's old. Current, just look at Josh Allen. Why did they not win? Why did the Bills not win last year? Why did they get eliminated? Because of Josh Allen. So he has a theory. So we're going to see as it plays out this year, is the quarterback the reason why every team loses?
Unfortunately, the thing I've seen a lot for a lot of the quarterbacks, it's not that they fumble. It's that they're having to try to push. Mm-hmm. And when they push, they throw the game-ending interceptions, which more often than not is the thing that kills every time. That and I see for Kefet how they're talking for the Steelers. Yes, you're right. TJ Watt is going to be making an impact this year. I'd say the over and under for sacks for him should be probably around 15.
Mm-hmm. I could see him breaking 20. I could see him breaking 20. Hey, you know what? Washington has a shot at winning the Super Bowl. As it stands right now, they have a shot. I did want to ask, Aaron's not here, so I'll have to ask him later about the lack of Commander fans in the but you can talk about that.
Well, I mean,
or is that just I don't want to say bad photography, or is that just staged photography, or
it wouldn't surprise me, but honestly, what happens half the time is they used to let people go for free over there, but now they charge people or you have to get tickets. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's definitely the Snyder effect. I mean, I've watched how Snyder's run the team into the ground with all the different choices he's made. Mm-hmm. I had the chance to almost go there one time, and I didn't go to training camp. But when I did a different job, like I told Santiago, me and him did a show together. Oh, yeah. I used to treat Redskin Park. So that was an interesting place to go.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think that during the week they're going to get a whole lot of people trying to go, even with it being the summer, just because with how the team's been, even though they won the NFCs 2 years ago, the thing is, for trying to get people around here, it doesn't work very well.
Right.
It's a shame.
Okay. We never really got a chance to talk about it with Aaron or any of those others. What do you think of the whole Kyler Murray thing? I'm just going to call it a thing because there's a number. Now he's got the vid. Now he's got the vid. But what are your thoughts on the whole Kyler Murray? I'm just going to call it situation.
I mean,
because there's a number of things you can look at. Santiago, when I did the update with him, he asked me about, you know, he goes, what do you think of that? I go, well, it's good for Kyler, not good for anybody else. But go ahead. You got the floor.
Well, it is good for Kyler, although the thing that was kind of funny was how he had thrown a fit about some of the wording about how he needed to practice and how he needed to watch film, which, sure, okay, you're going to throw a fit about that, but if you're not going to make progress every year, you have to study a lot of film. You need to make sure to do that. Just because it's in there, it's just saying, oh, okay, it's in there. I don't want it to be in there. But the thing is, you're getting paid, what, $236 million? That shouldn't matter. You'd be lucky if they didn't have other stuff in there.
Right. But he hasn't made the playoffs. He hasn't done, you know, everyone, including Aaron, made fun of, you know, Dallas and the big contract they gave Dak. Dak, 13-3 his first year, took him to the playoffs. He's won at least a couple of playoff games. Okay, yes, not taking him to the NFC Championship game. Fine, whatever. All his fault, as per Aaron's rule. We call that now Aaron's rule. Mm-hmm. And I will be tweeting Aaron after every football game and going, look, quarterback lost the game again. Even if the kicker misses the field goal, it will be the quarterback's fault for not getting him closer. Just saying. So Kyler, like, you know what? He's trying to say that he's got all this natural talent and look what I've done without study. Yeah, but you would have gone even further. Sure, you made two Pro Bowls, big deal. You know, you might have, you know, yeah, you were 10-0 and then you tanked and then you missed the playoffs. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, remember when he went to Oklahoma, he was already being paid by the Athletics, I believe, as a second baseman. Mm-hmm. And so he had to pay back his signing bonus so that he could go to the NFL instead. Because otherwise he was going to be in the Athletics system and maybe be in the major league by now. Who knows? That enough for Aaron's thing, for the field goal. Let's not forget Tony Romo became famous because he couldn't catch the ball to let the kicker kick a game-winning field goal.
Yep.
I've never forgotten that, unfortunately.
It's true. Against Seattle, 2006. Know it well. All right. So, Kyler, there you go. Debo, since Ray is not here, let's talk a little bit about Debo and his new contract. The question I had for Ray, it's only a three-year deal, whereas most of the time, 49 contracts are 5 years. Kittle's five, Warner's five. His is only three. So,
well, my question for that is, wasn't that part of an extension from his rookie contract? Because I know that the way the NFL does rookie contracts now, it's 5 years. So it's possible it could be just an extension add-on to his rookie contract.
Well, the fifth-year option applies to first-round picks. He was a second-round pick. So that fifth-year option doesn't apply to him in this case.
Well, even still, if it's 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of like how a DK Metcalf also.
Well, I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to give a shout out to Tory Dandy. And for those of you that don't know who he is a sports agent who represents a bunch of players, and he killed it this offseason. AJ Brown, 4-year contract, 3 years guaranteed. DK is one of his clients, 3 years, 2 years guaranteed. Chris Goodwin, Mike Williams, and now Debo. So, you know, he negotiated all of those.
Wow.
So he basically has mastered the short, high-impact receiver, rookie extensions. So shout out to Tory for having a great offseason. DK, once he made that play where he was in the end zone, the interception, he ran the guy down. And they didn't get any points. They missed the field goal. They stopped him, kicked the field goal. They missed. So that was that right there, pay the guy. Just pay the man. I know coming out when during his draft, they used to call him the human Batman suit, just the way he looked and stuff like that. And I thought, all right, is he going to live up to this? And I've always said this. I even said this about Patrick Mahomes coming out his first year. You got to prove it to me. We're anointing some of these kids, which is great, but I want to see you prove it. And I said this, when they got rid of Alex Smith and they named him the starter, I said, all right, well, that's all right. Maybe, obviously Andy Reid knows what the hell he's doing. Clearly he did, but you gotta prove this to me. I want to see what happens. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see what happens. He's only going to be, he's going to be, 25 when that's done? He's going to now go into his third contract, whether it's with the 49 or something else. Again, in honor of Ray, and I talked about this with San Diego on his update. Do you think anything will happen with Jimmy?
I think it's mostly a lot of talk, unfortunately. I mean, I know the 49ers really want Trey Lance to start. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I think that they're going to be on the hook with Jimmy as much as they're going to try to mm-hmm. be like, hey, we want him to leave. Mm-hmm. They've had, what, almost 2 years? Mm-hmm. But the problem for Jimmy is every time that they look like they're getting ready to trade him, he gets injured.
Yeah.
That's happened, what, 3 times already? Or 2 or 3 times since he's been at the 49ers? Yep. And I think it happened with the Patriots, but I know we got hurt at least 1 time with them.
I think so, yeah.
I said this to Santiago on one of his updates. Something is going to have to happen in another team
mm-hmm.
for that to happen. And you know, and I'm hoping something like a soft tissue, guy pulls a hammy, something where he's going to be out, not a significant amount of time, but somewhere where you want to bring, let's say, and I'm just hypothetically, I don't want anything to happen. Let's say something happens to, Trevor Lawrence, something small tissue, hamstring, maybe you want to be extra cautious. So you bring in like a Jimmy. I don't think he's going to end up in Seattle. I think they're going to ride with Geno and Drew again, unless something happens. Somebody gets hurt, bad, really horrible play, and you're like, okay, we can't do this anymore. We need somebody else. Like, I think an event has to happen. Something has to happen somewhere in the league for then the team to go, okay, you know what? You know, we're going to ride, but we need somebody else in the quarterback room. We need someone to back him up. We're going to go with our number two, but we need somebody to back him up, not bring in Jimmy to start. So let's say Drew or Geno gets hurt and they want to bring, or even the Jets, you know, let's say Mike White gets hurt and you've got, you know, Zach is your starter. You want to bring Jimmy in, just as a safety net, as a, you know, just to have an extra set of eyes in the quarterback room, someone's experience, and then can fill in if needed. So that's what I think. Thoughts?
That could be possible. I mean, I'd wonder if he would. I see that the one Facebooker says Giants. No, I can't see him going to the Giants. I mean, I would see him with a
better unless something happened.
Unless something happened, maybe. But I would say if something was going to happen, I'd look more toward like the Texans, maybe. I wouldn't say, I don't think the Colts, because you know how they just got rid of Carson Wentz, but maybe even the Vikings, because you know how everyone always is down on Kirk Cousins. They may just want to have another backup there. That, and I do know that tomorrow for the Hall of Fame game, they already announced that Trevor Lawrence and Etienne, they're both going to be out. They're not going to play. Mm-hmm. So they already announced that for the first game, which that's not really a surprise, but.
Not a surprise. Why would you? Why would you put, especially ATN? He didn't play all last year. So why are you going to risk him? It's like, I wouldn't even see any of them all preseason. Maybe a series just to shake the rust off, get a hit in, you know, just to, but why play?
True.
You got that extra game. You got the 90 guys. Throw these other guys in. Let them see what you got. If you got a couple of questionable guys at running back or wide receiver or et cetera, right? You know what's going to help LeBron's legacy? He is in Toronto right now. Him and Adam Sandler are tearing up Toronto. He was at the huge Caravana Festival on the weekend. Mm. That is securing LeBron's legacy. Shout out to the Real Certified Doctor over there on the YouTube. So, yeah, I think something's going to happen. I think something would have to happen. I don't know what's going to happen down in Giants land. That's for Thursday night and Victor to explain to us what's going on in Giants land. The team I am worried about in the NFC East, and we don't have to talk much further about, is the Eagles. I don't see the Commanders or the Giants challenging this year, but what do I know?
Well, I mean, I want to see if the Eagles, if how Hurts does this year, because he's going to be the X factor. If he does good, they're going to be able to go as far as they can on his shoulders. But if he kind of just gives out like he did, it's not going to be very good for them. And also, you know, Jeffrey Lurie is an owner. He doesn't stand for players not really doing much. You saw what he did to Doug Peterson 2 years after winning the Super Bowl. Bye.
Yeah.
I mean, he sends people, he cuts people, he takes them away if they're not going, doing well. I mean, he traded Carson Wentz away, and then he traded Nick Foles away to down to Jacksonville after he won a Super Bowl. It's like, come on, man. So, I mean, if you're expecting loyalty in the NFL, a lot of times, it's basically remembering it's just a business. I mean, one thing for the Commanders, since we were talking about wide receivers, Terry McLaurin also got a 3-year extension as well. So he needed that. And I do remember DK catching Buda Baker. I will never forget that. So that was that replay is going to be on every YouTube speed play probably from now till forever.
Probably. Yeah, that's a fair statement. So the Dolphins, let's talk a little bit about the Dolphins. The Dolphins, they're losing a pick, which could be a high pick.
Two, I believe. I thought they were losing two picks.
They're going to lose one next year too, right?
Okay.
I seen various tweets. I saw one tweet. He said, "I'm a lawyer, and basically, they've just confirmed that you can now tamper, and nothing will happen to you. A couple of slaps on the wrist. Yeah, a fine by the owner. Okay, so the owner can't show up until October. Oh well.
Yeah, I mean
So do you want to hear what I think? And there's a few people who share this theory. And Aaron, next week, if you're back, you can tell me I'm full of shit. But first of all, the whole Brian Flores thing screwed this up.
Mm-hmm.
But so hear me out. I think Tom Brady was going to become minority owner of Miami. They were going to bring Sean Payton in as a head coach. Brady and Payton, same agent. Then they were going to work out some compensation with the Buccaneers because he is still under contract with the Bucs. So work out some sort of compensation there to get released. And then play for Miami, owner player. But that still could happen. Again, why was Miami tampering with Sean Payton and Tom Brady in the offseason when Tom Brady was under contract? Because I think this was in the works. And then I think Brian Flores and his allegations, which were proven to be true, but that whole situation, you know, I think that kind of derailed it, or at least took it off the back burner or put it onto the back burner. Which I don't think it's going to happen in the next year or so. So that's why I think Tom is back in thingy. But I think you could see that. What do you think of that? What do you think about them there, apples? Or you think I'm just full of crap?
Well, I'm going to give you one example, okay?
Okay.
Think about what just happened with the Commanders and Daniel Snyder with the cheerleaders and all that. Think about what happened to them. And then look at what's happening with the Dolphins. If you can't expect the Dolphins were going to get something that was going to be a slap on the wrist after what happened with Snyder. I mean, sure, Ross got fined, what, $1.5 million? He can pay that in his sleep. That's nothing to him. I mean, Miami, I could also see what you're talking about. The other thing that I would, because I'm a soccer fan too.
Okay.
Remember that Beckham is the owner of the MLS Inter Miami.
Okay.
program.
I'm not a soccer guy, so I don't have any. Okay. I got no firsthand knowledge, so I'm looking to you on this. Yep.
Okay. Well, David Beckham, how he's a famous soccer player.
I've heard of him.
Okay. I'd hope so, but
I'd heard of him, but yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, thank you.
Well, he is the majority owner of Inter Miami, the MLS club down there.
Okay.
So hypothetically, besides being owner of the Dolphins, if Brady had that happen, mm-hmm. you could picture Beckham would probably throw him a little bit of mm-hmm. shares for Inter Miami as well, just to sweeten the pot.
That could be. Okay. Did not have that other information. But sure, yeah. And I think they're good friends. I think they travel in some of those circles, I think.
I'm pretty sure they do, just because Beckham's wife is the former pop star from the Spice Girls too. So I mean,
I knew that.
Okay, yeah, no.
I know of that family.
yeah, but no, I mean, I could see that happening, and I believe that Brady, if he didn't try to play for the Dolphins, or if that hadn't worked out, the only other team I could really see him trying to play for would be the 49ers for 1 year, just because that was the team he grew up loving.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, maybe when Trey Lance retires, then he can. Tom will still be around when it comes to.
It's possible. I mean,
when
for
Trey
him,
retires,
he's. I mean, the person that Tom Brady reminds me of now for keeping playing long term is Vinny Testaverde.
I thought you were going to say Cal Ripken back in the baseball days.
Oh, no, no. I mean, that would have been a good one. Or you could have said Darryl Green back when he was playing as well. But, I mean, sure. Testaverde was playing until he was almost 50. I think I want to say it was like 48 when he finally quit with the Cowboys. Somewhere around there,
yeah.
I mean, I could see Brady doing something like that because he fits the mold of Testaverde. The only difference is he's a proven winner, whereas Testaverde, he would make the playoffs and that was about it.
Yeah. All right. So it's 10:42. I guess mm-hmm. we need to talk about the big elephant in the room.
I'm gonna let you lead off.
All right. So Deshaun Watson, the judge has said he should be suspended for 6 games. My first question to you. Mm-hmm. And I got a whole section here. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, let's start. Retired Judge Sue Robinson found mm-hmm. 3 issues. He violated the conduct that qualifies as sexual assault. He conduct that poses a general safety and well-being of another person, and mm-hmm. conduct that undermines or puts at risk the integrity of the NFL. Okay. Why only 6 games? It actually should have only been 1 game. Other people think it should be a year. It should be indefinitely. Unfortunately, the personal conduct policy does not allow for that. I don't know if you read the ruling at all. If you read the 16 pages, I did. Okay. So I don't know if you did or not.
I glanced at it a little bit on ESPN. I did look at that earlier. I mean, the only thing I could compare trying to look at something like that was back when the Mitchell report happened. I read through that. So, I mean, it's look is a lot less.
And in here somewhere, the NFL. So what is the NFL's definition of sexual assault? Do you know the answer to that question?
I do not, actually.
They do not have one. So in the personal conduct policy, there is no definition of sexual assault. So in deposition, again, if you read through this, she does, again, everything I am saying is in this document. This is not my opinion. This is not me. I think this whole thing is wrong and disgusting and gross. But this is not me. This is not Jeff. This is not sports talk. This is not sportscast. This is from the ruling. And there's no definition of it. And so in here somewhere,
And I can't exactly find where it is, but I think in deposition, they had to come up with a definition, which she then used. But there is no definition of sexual assault in the personal conduct. And according to the judge, again, this is all according to the judge. Hang on, I got to get my notes here. Hold on one second. It's undisputed that Watson's conduct does not fall into the category of minimum 6-game suspension. Also, it's undisputed that prior cases involving non-sexual assault have resulted in discipline far less severe than the minimum 1-year suspension that the NFL was seeking. But she gave him 6 games because of the multiple violations of the policy, where it really probably should have been just 1 game. Mm-hmm. But because of the repeated offenses, she gave 6. Yes, Aaron and others thinks it should be 1 year, but unfortunately, the personal conduct policy does not support that. So again, it comes down to rules and laws. Their document says, here's what you must do. It doesn't define it. So the NFL did not do a good job of defending their why it should be 1 year when the document doesn't allow for that. I know that's not what people want to hear, and people will go, look at Tom Brady and blah, 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 but that's a different, that's an apple to this orange, right? So, you know, there, you know, again, this is what the retired federal judge said. Now, back to my other point. This was Monday. Tomorrow is Wednesday. They have 3 days for the NFL to decide what to do. If the NFL decides more games, no, let me rephrase that. If the NFL suspends him for the year, if they tack on a few more games, I think they might just go, okay, we'll accept that. Let's say they double it to 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just making a number up. I think they might go, okay. But if the NFL says, no, we want to suspend you for the whole season or indefinitely, then, like it happened with Zeke, they will then sue, take it to federal court. While that is being worked out in the courts, he can still play. So that opens up him playing week 1. And when I tweeted that out, I said, come on the show, I'll explain why I think that. Aaron came back with a gif that with a meme that said, no chance or no way or whatever he put. But if the NFL, if Roger does something and then they then sue and take it to federal court like Zeke did, remember, Zeke still had his 6 games because it was upheld in court, but he still got to play while it worked through the courts. Hall of Fame game is Thursday. I can't believe the Hall of Fame game's on Thursday already.
Correct.
And then the season starts in a month. That's not going to work through the courts in that short period of time, opening him up to play. What are your thoughts on all of what I just said?
Well, while you've been talking, I've actually been reading the paper.
Okay, perfect.
That you're talking about for the judge.
Yeah.
And
good read. It's well written. It is very well written. It's well written. It's well written.
I mean, the thing is, for what they're writing, the way that she writes it, you can definitely see that she made sure that she explained everything how it should be written, and the way that she was describing about why she decided that the sentence was fair.
Correct.
She was mentioning about like how Greg Hardy and Ray Rice, how they had done different things, and she made sure to explain exactly why she chose this instead of what happened with them.
Correct.
Because of how it went.
Correct. Now, I think in the document it said that these were not considered violent sexual acts. The women never felt threatened, whereas Ray Rice, even Ben and others, right, they felt threatened. Well, they didn't actually, sure, what he did and you know, stuff on the arm and this and that, but they never felt threatened. And that's the key that she put in the document is it was non-violent, right? And there's nothing in the personal code of conduct that explains that, and it doesn't justify a 1 year suspension because it's not spelled out. Now, will the NFL change that? Probably. Mm-hmm. Will that get approved by the owners and under the CBA and all that other stuff? We'll have to see. But as it's written right now, and as I tried to explain to some people, not on the show, but others, when they were all upset about it, I'm like, I said, you can't, there's laws, and these are the documents. These are the rules you have to follow. And if it's not defined, then the person who didn't draw up the contract, it favors them. That's contract law 101. We learned that first day in law school. So, right.
I mean, I can see that if Goodell would have his way, he would definitely do the year suspension. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had seen a GIF that showed like the different suspensions that happened for other players.
Yep.
And how basically to them, it's like a slap on the wrist, which in some ways it could be considered that, but since they don't know how to try to go about disciplining because of how she worded everything.
Correct.
That's why Goodell is so mad, because if it was his way, you know he'd be gone the whole year. But because they're making sure that someone else intervenes and decides to do things and sets up how the punishment's going to be, because of that, you see exactly how it is. It's just like how when the NFL did that for the Commanders with Beth Wilkinson, how you knew Goodell wanted to do something else, but because of what Wilkinson did, he had to follow it. And it's just like for this right now. Mm-hmm. You know he doesn't want to follow it, but he also doesn't want to have kind of like a PR nightmare right before the start of the season.
He's in a lose-lose situation there, you know, and there's lots of people that want him because, you know, the NFL is saying one thing about women, and if he doesn't go and do what he needs to do, then they're going to say that's all lip service, and, right, he can't win. There's, you know, he really can't win in this situation.
No, he can't.
You know, because if he stays with it, goes, all right, we're not going to appeal, then they're going to go, well, you don't care about women and you're not standing up for women and your NFL is supposed to be all this NFL and women and all the blah, blah. And then if he says, all right, then you're suspended for the year, they're going to take it to court and it just becomes this drawn out nightmare like it did with Zeke and others. Mm-hmm. And at the start of the season, it's supposed to be rah, 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 celebrate the beginning of the season. So, which I think he's going to do. I think he's going to suspend them for the year. And I think then there's going to be a lawsuit, and then he's going to be playing week one.
I'll be waiting to see about that.
Week two, week three, I have no idea how long it's going to take to get through the court.
Sure, sure.
And you know what? Again, I'm basing that all on how long things roughly take and stuff like that. They could everything could get fast tracked, and there could be a resolution. You know, I don't know where this will be filed, and I don't know the backlog, and I don't know how this works, and does the NFL get favorable treatment, and you know your lost legal system better than my Canadian legal system, right? So I just don't see it in 4 weeks coming to a resolution, but who knows?
Did you look at some of the information about what would happen to Deshaun before and after during the suspension? Because I took a look at that, and it said that he's going to be allowed to play all four preseason games. And then I believe it's after the third game he's allowed to start practicing with the team again, after the third game suspension. He's not going to be able to travel with the team, but I believe he's going to be able to do practice with them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what – that one with Zeke, and that's what happened with others. Yes, yes. Basically, cut-down day is basically the day. You know, cut-down day. Then he goes on the commissioner's list, and then he goes home. But yes, that is standard practice. He will be there. He's in the building today. He's working out. He's doing walkthroughs. Mm-hmm. He's doing the preseason. If he chooses to play, if they want him to play in the preseason games, then yes, he can do that. Yes, all of that cut down day. Basically, he goes home, and then yes, there are yes, yep. Unlike Calvin Ridley with the 1 year suspension. Again, that's in the policy. If the policies, you know, and someone said to me this, because I've had a few, you know, DM discussions with people on Twitter. And they're like, well, the policy's not written. I said, that's a fair point. But as it's written today, right, that's so Calvin Ridley, he's gone. He can't practice. He can't do meetings. He can't do anything.
because of the 1 year suspension, but other ones, right? So that is, you are 100% correct in all of what you just said. Yes. He can still practice. He can still be there up until cut down day, basically. And then he's gone home. And then, yes, he can come back at the right appropriate time. I don't know their schedule, so I don't know if there's a bye week in there at all. I'm not 100% sure. There may be a bye week in there that may may influence this or not. I don't know.
Let's see.
I don't know the answer to that question, but again, I think Roger will give him the year suspension, and then they will then sue. It'll go to federal court. Blah blah blah. And then if it goes to federal court and they lose, which they probably will, at least Roger can hold face and say, look, I did what I had to do. Mm-hmm. The court intervened and said otherwise. What do you want me to do?
Well, I do see something that's kind of interesting here, because I'm looking at the schedule for the Browns next year. Mm-hmm. And they play the Jets on September 18th. At 1 o'clock, and then they play Thursday night football, the 22nd against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Then they're off till October 2nd. So that would be game four right there. Mm-hmm. Is where October 2nd would be the time when they can practice. Mm-hmm. Looks like the game he's going to be the sixth game is going to be the Patriots.
Nice.
And then he would be eligible to return for the game on October 23rd against the Ravens.
Nice. Oh, a divisional game. That'll be good.
So, I mean, it's just waiting to see what happens. I mean, if he does get the one game or he doesn't get the game, okay. But the question is going to be, how is Goodell going to frame this so that he can make himself not look as bad as possible, just because with some of the choices that he makes already? I mean, the commissioner's list, more often than not, that's considered a joke. Let's be honest.
Correct.
So
that is all correct. He wasn't fined, which was very interesting.
Yeah.
He wasn't fined, which I guess he could have, issued a. So he gets all his money.
Well, he's going to lose, I think. They said it was 283,000, something like that, for the six game checks. I think it was right around that number because of those games. Because he's only going to make, I think, $1 million this year, something like that.
He's going to lose if his contract with the Browns didn't include a special non-forfeiture language, which it does, on his signing bonus. Deshaun would have been set to lose $3.34 million with the six games. Instead, he'll forfeit six game checks at $57,000 or $300 per week or $345,000. Mm-hmm. So they put in special language in case this happened.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say it was smart, but I mean, they knew what was going to happen at some point, so they wanted to make sure that they were covered on their end because, just how Goodell is.
Yep.
You know that when he wants to make his presence known, he's going to try to make sure that whoever he's going after, he's going to make sure they remember it so that hopefully they never do anything like this ever again.
Yep. Yep. Cool. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. So tomorrow is day three. Because Monday was day one. Mm-hmm. Today was day two. Unless this clock starts. I don't know if the clock starts today. It was day one. Tomorrow, Thursday. The next day or two, we will know what Roger is doing, and I think we all can guess. If we are all betting people, if we were all Portnoy and we were betting people, and we could go on the app and we could bet the Barstool app, and we could bet. I think we can bet he's gonna probably suspend him for the entire year. He has no choice; he has to, and then just see what happens after that. Right? Let it go to court and. Mm-hmm. And at least then he can say, look, I'm fighting for the women. I'm doing what was right. This was the right thing to do. And if the courts say otherwise, then the courts say otherwise. And then he just goes, see, I tried. That's what I think. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's going to be like that, except the only difference is like you said, because of how the language is, when he's going to try to bring that argument up, they're going to look at what the judge wrote, who's a retired judge. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like if you were going in front of the Supreme Court, and when you see everyone write their final things.
Yep.
It's like if you see basically what she did, that's the equivalent to a chief justice writing a dissenting opinion. Mm-hmm. So when they're going, when he's going to try to act like he's the law in the NFL doing that, they're going to see what she wrote and be like, hey, if she's going to argue about that and be able to prove that, unless he does something monumental and epic, there's not going to be anything that he's going to be able to do to change that. And he's just going to come out looking worse than usual. That's just my opinion.
You're probably not wrong. But his legal team, they have probably been prepping for this. And so they probably have other things up their sleeve that they can probably bring up in court. But
I wouldn't be too sure, only for the fact that remember how they were having to deal with the concussion issue and they lost that. They lost the name and likeness issue before. And also, the only one that they've won so far was when you had, because I'm an Ohio State fan, when you had Maurice Corrett and Mike Williams try to petition the NFL to go to the draft early. That's the only one they've won. Any other one that they've tried to sue for, they've lost, and usually lost bad. I mean, I'd love to say that, oh, yeah, he's going to win, his lawyers are going to win. But every time it's counted for them, they've lost.
I guess they have to take a shot.
I understand they have to take a shot. I mean, if it works, good, but I wouldn't bet money on it.
No, but I guess we'll find out tomorrow or by Thursday. So by Friday's update with Santiago, also on this network, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe. If you listen on the Apple app, I don't have Apple, so I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't have a script. Aaron sent me nothing. Santiago sent me nothing other than this great Commanders fan, Alan, was joining me, which I thought was awesome. Thank you, sir. For how can people reach you? If the people here watching want to get a hold of Alan West, how do they get a hold of you?
Let's see. I have Instagram at alan.west46. I also have Twitter, which I haven't been on in a while. I need to actually log into it. It's under at Alan F. West. And I also have Facebook as well. And other than that, those are the main ways you can get a hold of me.
Excellent. And of course, everyone knows how you can get a hold of me. It's not a secret. Exactly. I wear it on my shirt. Like, you know, I was doing a, I was doing something once and said, what's your Twitter handle? And everyone's like, can you not see his shirt? Like my entire chat roasted him because he couldn't read my shirt. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I hope Aaron and Ray will be back next week. Otherwise, we'll be here again. So who knows? But I think Ray's back from vacation. So Ray at least should be back. He's out buying Lego. And he's at the beach, and he's just living his best life. And Aaron, I have no idea what he's doing. Probably making more merchandise. But anyways, how do we end this thing? I don't know how to end this, but thank you, sir. It was a pleasure meeting you. It was a pleasure spending this hour with you. You had some great insight, and let's just see what happens over the next week or so and see who's right. See if Deshaun week one is starting or not. And I think I want this one. Okay. Bye, everybody.